with my colleague, Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. And we go to Ecuador because when I first saw this story, oh, good news, we get to talk about something positive here, not violence or the threat of violence or drugs. U.S. Ecuador agreed to establish Fair Trade Working Group. Subhead, the United States and Ecuador have agreed to establish a Fair Trade Working Group and explore potential negotiations on labor, environment, and other worthy policy matters. However, at the same time, within hours, we get this strange report. 5 police killed in Ecuador, state of emergency declared. This is Quito, at least 5 Ecuadorian police officers killed on Tuesday within hours of in explosive attacks in response to prisoner transfers from overcrowded and violent penitentiaries, prompting the president, Mr. Lasso, to declare a state of emergency in 2 provinces. Professor, it's a puzzle. We have a good working relationship with Ecuador, the United States does, looking for trade and other major policy issues, including the environment. And then there's a gunfight in the transfer of prisoners associated with the cartels. And President Lasso, what my understanding is that he is the exception that proves the rule of the pink tide. He's populist right of center. Is Ecuador in a gunfight, or is Ecuador in a stage of growing closer to the United States? How to read these headlines?
Both, John. Ecuador is at a very critical moment right now, and there's two different kind of strategic trends at play that take Ecuador potentially in very opposite direction. One, as you pointed out, and we've talked about on the show, Ecuador is a relatively functional country. It has strong institutions, a strong democratic tradition, a relatively vibrant political culture, a relatively educated workforce, and really a lot of potential. Ecuador historically is also the only country along the Pacific coast of South America that did not have a formal free trade agreement with the United States. And so in December 2010, you had what was called the trade protocol, which was an attempt to kind of move in that direction with facilitating regulatory practices, anti-corruption, et cetera, et cetera. And so this step, taking advantage of the fact that we have a sympathetic pro-democratic government in Ecuador right now, Guillermo Lasso, who, as you recall, was actually elected because Ecuadorians didn't want Andrés Arauz, basically the puppet candidate of former leftist populist Rafael Correa, to get back into power. And so the reason that you have this democratic, you know, center-right government of Guillermo Lasso is because of Ecuador's aversions of going back to the bad old days of Rafael Correa. This is really moving in a positive direction of, again, deepening that with setting up this U.S.-Ecuador Trade and Investment Council and trying to put that in motion to really further develop the trade relationships to really strengthen prosperity and democracy in Ecuador. Unfortunately, at the same time, relatively small Ecuador also happens to be right between the two biggest producers of cocoa in all of the Americas, Colombia to its north and Peru to its south. And so over the years, what's happened is that the Mexican transnational narcotics cartels, especially Sinaloa and Jalisco Nueva Generacion, have gotten involved in part through gang surrogates in Ecuador. And that's begun to play out in violence in Ecuador's prisons, in the assassination of journalists and various other things, especially in the past 2 or 3 years. The latest in some of the more problematic provinces in Ecuador to the north coast, Esmeraldas and into its south, Guayas province. There was some brutal violence, which again was related in the media case to a prisoner transfer. And so thus trying probably one of the gangs trying to free one of their own. But again, 12 separate attacks in the city of Guayaquil and in other places. And so that was what led to the state of emergency. But the state of emergency really highlights that despite all of the potential of Ecuador and despite the U.S. working with it to move in a very positive direction, Ecuador is also being imperiled as a small country by the essentially drug violence involving Mexican cartels that are creeping in from both the north and in south. And so really helping Ecuador to maintain governance and in public security amidst this this onslaught is critical and will be critical to the future of the country.
What I learned from reading the report is that The bilateral trade agreement was started under the Trump administration, your time in government work, Evan, and that Trade Representative Lighthizer started this, and now Trade Representative Tai is finishing it. And so this is all good news between two administrations forming this protocol, what is described as the under the Trade Investment Council. Does this open up Ecuador to expansion, to prosperity? Is this going to have an immediate effect for the government of Mr. Lasso? We have about a minute.
It's a small step, John, but it continues to move Ecuador, at least on the economic front, in a positive direction, using as a driver the relatively constructive trade relationship with the United States. Ecuador actually has a trade surplus of about $3.2 billion with the United States. And again, so this is an important driver of Ecuador in prosperity. But it also shows that there are some areas that, despite the contentiousness of politics in Washington, that basically helping a democratic center-right government to prosper and strengthen its democracy through strengthened trade ties in the context of anti-corruption and transparency, that's at least one of the few things that the Trump administration and the Biden administration can agree on with respect to our outreach to our partners in the region.
Professor Evan Ellis, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. The new good news is that Brazil is behind us, and we celebrate Lula da Silva's return to the presidency. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,